Hello, everybody, and welcome to GOHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Today, we are in the back wombs.
Wow. The back wombs. I can't do it.
How are you doing today?
I love when people do that voice. If you do it for the whole podcast, I'll give you $1,000.
Austin, I'm very happy today because I've learned just now that the video game actors strike has ended. And this means my anime girls in Genshin Impact have their English voices back. Because
okay,
I've been playing the game in Japanese so that I could hear their voices. Because now I'm doing some kind of like, I'm turning Swedish. I can't do this for very long.
I thought this was a baby voice, but then it kind of sounded like a excuse me, like gamer voice.
My intention was like one of those people from the internet. Yes.
Okay.
My intention was like, how are you doing, princess? Like that.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. M'lady. You were trying to, I was going to say flirt with me, but that was not the right, like, you know, like you were trying to do an impression of me flirting with people 10 years ago, roughly.
Yeah, but I'm just—I can't keep up a voice very long, and if you'll notice, listening back to that, I was really kind of pausing before every word because I was trying to calculate exactly how to say it.
So your brain probably got 3 degrees hotter while you were running that.
Yeah, exactly. Just like my computer booting up. Did you just do the thing where it like renders the shaders ahead of time and fucking takes off like a rocket ship for 10 seconds?
My computer's always running like a rocket ship.
I think we've talked about this, but you have some kind of issue, I think, with yours.
It's just a little baby computer.
You need some of that metal cooling that the PS5 has, I think.
I'm trying to find a way that I can just mount it outside my window and then just run the HDMI cable in, so then I don't have
like
to
an air conditioner hanging out
your
window.
Yeah, like an air conditioner, exactly.
You get all that nice outside dirt in it.
Hey, you're not going to believe this. But you remember a few weeks ago when I was telling you about our emergency raisin storage, how we had an emergency raisin stockpile in America, and how people were figuring things out about it via these things called FOIA requests, these Freedom of Information Act, these public records requests, right? You remember that?
Yes.
I actually, just this week, submitted my very first public records
request. Exciting. Do we get to know what it is, or is it a secret for your video?
It's a I requested the specific documentation for whatever engineering and traffic study was done to determine the speed limits on the streets near my house. I did not get a speeding ticket. I'm not trying to fight speeding tickets or anything like that.
Okay.
I'm just curious when these studies were done, and like I just want to know like what.
Oh, so is this just for your personal life? This is not for content?
No, this is for content. It's for content. Of course, everything's for content. Okay. But,
so are you going to be announcing to everybody what street you live on?
People will have a vague idea. I don't know if you see what's happening here, but the video game is starting to go crazy, so we might be in trouble.
Yeah, we might. I do think we can die in this. I don't know if we run out of time or...
Yeah, no, it's going to be fine. But what's interesting, this is for the cool thing, is what I thought, this is unironically, this is what I thought. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, how do we decide speed limits? In fact, why don't I ask you this? How do you think we decide speed limits?
Don't they actually just measure the actual speed that people go and base it on that?
They do. So they basically measure a bunch of people over many days, and then they take the speed that the 85th percentile drives at. So 85% of drivers drive below this speed, and whatever speed that is, they are legally required, or at least for a long time in many states they were, that's the speed you have to set it at, which means if drivers started to drive faster, in theory, they'd have to make the speed limit go up. So if you coordinated...
Isn't that what they do with the... they have those little like cameras on yellow tripods that they put out there. Is that what they're
the people
measuring?
Who think that they're like getting speeding tickets and like being tracked by the government, it's actually just a bunch of engineers doing a study about the traffic.
Right.
If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, how do we set speed limits? This is serious. I would have said they probably just get someone to drive down the road a few times and like kind of figure out what feels right and then just pick it and then adjust it if anything goes wrong.
I mean,
I thought it was
kind of what it is. Based. It's just a big average of what everybody think it feels like.
For sure. Yeah. I guess I just thought it was like the mayor drives down the street and goes, it's about 30, you know, and then just put it up.
That's one of the perks of being the mayor is you get to decide all the speed limits, I think.
Yes. So that's one of the things that I learned is they have to do studies. Nowadays, instead of doing the study and determining the road, a lot of cities are switching to a model where they pick the speed that makes the best safety, and then they bring in engineers to re-engineer the road in terms of like the shape of the road and the obstacles and the lines to force people to sort of naturally drive the way the speed that they want for safety, which is interesting. But
yeah,
just wanted
it makes
you
sense
to know
that, they
that
have
I submitted
to,
my first request.
Yeah, it makes sense that they have to align it with the feel of the road, because I do get a little bit angry when I feel like we should be going faster than the people around me.
You've talked about this. That's why they call you speeding ticket mem.
I've never gotten a speeding ticket. You have, right?
That's why they call you slippery no speeding ticket mem.
I almost did,
because
but that
you
one guy
almost
that was
get a lot of speeding.
Yeah. Freaking asking me about all the drugs in the world. Have you ever done all the drugs in the world is specifically what he said to me.
Well,
and I said no.
And you said yes. You said yes. That's why I'm doing this podcast.
No.
That's why you're in this situation in this back room.
Yeah, exactly. Is this what drugs feel like?
If you do
like?
All the drugs in the world, you end up in the back rooms. Yeah. This is where you end up.
Oh, yeah. You don't just feel like you're in the back rooms. You physically, that's how you get there.
You go there, yeah. No, you go there. It's like an achievement in an Xbox game.
Yeah, we should
but you
maybe
have to do all of them.
Oh.
You want to go somewhere else?
Wait, do you see this?
No,
there's actually
darkness.
A monster
I just saw
out there.
Darkness.
There was actually a monster out there. I just saw him. No, I just was saying, do you think we should like go out there and stand out there?
We'd probably get killed, but I will if you want me to.
Do you think we're invincible in the elevator? I think we should
stand
out.
You look
out
photorealistic. Here. This is terrifying.
It is. There's something about backrooms games that look especially realistic. I think because it's not that hard to make these hazmat suits look realistic.
And
especially
really
when they
thing.
Put like the VHS filter on it that every one of these games has, except this one, I guess, doesn't. Most of them
I'm
have a VHS filter on them.
Yeah,
but
I don't like those.
It is kind of effective for making it look extremely realistic. There was one that I played for a video, I think, that actually did like kind of look like real video footage. It's crazy.
Yes.
Technology
and it makes sense because the
back
rooms are based off of like the most sterile fluorescent spaces that are like probably the most like geometric uniformly lit spaces of real life that we have.
Yeah.
And that's how video games like, especially, you know, it's easy to light a video game in a uniform geometric kind of way. So
how do you feel? How would you feel emotionally being plopped into the back rooms if it just looked like this? If you didn't see any monsters at first?
I mean, definitely terrified and captivated, I feel like, is kind of the whole thing, right?
Right.
It's like it's really scary, but also like weirdly captivating. You know, everyone, I feel like at times in life has been in a place that had a little backroomsy vibe. I want to say it was a Twitter thread a long time ago, was that thread where the person was like, oh, I went in the wrong door at this hotel. How do I get out? And they just like kept going through doors and posting updates of the pictures of where they somehow ended up. Like there was a whole second set of staircases and hallways in the hotel that like didn't connect to the first one, but there were places where you could see the first one. Oh, we're gonna die.
Maybe wait, what control did it say for a flashlight? T
C,
which is strange.
No, C is
look,
camera.
Now I got
okay,
a beautiful spotlight on you.
Oh, that's lovely. I put the camera on, so now I have a CRT filter or a VHS filter. Yeah, I like the back rooms. I think they're neat.
Oh, we're gonna die. Where
kind
is he?
Kind of like, you think
oh,
so?
Oh, he's right.
No, we're all right.
I'm running.
Oh, it's like a monster.
Wait, if we go back in the elevator, do you think we survive?
It seemed like the elevator, it wasn't going to kill us in there. But I said I need to find almond water. Oh,
oh
I can
you
crawl.
Are crumpled all on right. the ground. Crawl back into the elevator, maybe.
Yeah. I'm coming.
Oh, we'll just do the pod like
it's,
this, I think, because I'm safe in
not
here
let me
and
move.
You're crumpled.
Yeah, that's fine. Here, I'll point the camera at you. Do I seem like I'm... I mean, nothing else is happening, right? The screen's shaking a little
you
bit.
You just look like you're kind of taking a nap. I think that's fine.
Okay, I like it. The monster is
but
still
yes,
here.
But yes, I have always said the back rooms, minus the monsters, obviously, would feel very comforting to me. I feel like very kind of zen in the back rooms when I'm walking around in these games without the monsters. And I do think the monsters were kind of added later. Like, initially, the lore of the back rooms was that it's creepy enough just that you're in this kind of space that almost seems real but isn't, and that it goes on forever and you can't get out. And then they started making these games and stuff where there's monsters in it, which is fine because it makes a fun game, I guess. But I think originally it was not necessarily supposed to be that you're being chased by stuff.
Yeah. And it falls under the same... Was it one of our commenters or someone? I don't know who was talking about it, but this idea of like solidifying the lore of a place always makes it less cool than...
Yeah, like, you want to leave some mystery.
Like, yeah, it's like the Yoda... It's Yoda with a lightsaber swirling around thing. Like, it's cooler when you just don't know what Yoda's capable of. Or, like, the Count Dooku shooting lightning out of his hand thing. And, like, it turns out that, my screen went blue. I have a blue screen of,
Yeah, we might just have to stay in the elevator for most of this.
What percentage of our audience do you think listens to this via, like, podcast apps versus actually through the YouTube app?
They do,
I think.
We don't
push the podcast piece. Like, do you have data on that? Are you able to see that?
I have data, but as you know, I don't like to look at the numbers that much.
True, I think
somebody commented that they listen on Apple Podcasts, and I think Spotify does the thing where I log into it and it is immediately trying to show me the numbers against my will. And I think there's like a few hundred people that listen to it on there, like 200 or 300. So like not,
but it's majority YouTube, I would assume.
I would assume majority YouTube, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't remember what I was talking about. Just that I love the back rooms and I want to live there. And I want to take a nap there. Because you know what it reminds me of is like going to your parents' work after school and just hanging out. Like sitting around in an office building.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I want to find a corner to take a nap in.
Yeah. I don't totally agree. I definitely think it's more unnerving, I think, than you do. But like, because don't you get, like, imagine, have you ever gone to like a mall and when it's empty and closed, you know, it's like a little weird to be in an empty, giant, empty building.
I mean, I think,
but maybe you disagree.
Almost every mall I've been in the last few years has been half empty and dead. It's so weird.
Do you want to know? Like,
funny that they keep them running, but then only half the storefronts are full.
The Mall of America apparently is having a great time right now. They are making bank.
Well, we stopped there on our cross-country road trip last year, and it was full of people.
Yeah, like, I don't know why it is that they have, like, a strong performance compared to most malls.
I mean, there is a freaking theme park in it.
There's a theme park in it. There's Crayola Experience. There's a movie theater. It's a great place. Like, I like going to the Mall of America, specifically. It's fun. But most malls aren't that fun. So,
yeah.
I guess that just goes to show.
Yeah, Mall of America's got a lot of things going for it. It's kind of known as a tourist attraction. There's a roller coaster in it. There's a lot of just really big name brand stores that have like fun activities associated with them. You know, you go to the Lego store, you can make your own custom Lego set, that kind of thing.
You ever go to a mirror maze? They have a mirror maze in there.
I've been in them before, always kind of covered in like snotty handprints from kids.
They make you put these gloves on, I thought. That's what they did for me anyway at the Mall of America one.
Oh, they should.
So that you can't leave
handprints.
I guess
I'm mainly thinking of like ones that you would find at a county fair.
Sure, yeah. It's when the glass is clean or whatever. Is it glass? Are mirrors, is that glass?
Are mirrors glass? Yes.
No, are they? Because glass, I thought you see through. Hold on. I'm looking this up.
Honestly, is it like a layer of metal with glass over it?
Okay, so yes, the reflective part is metal, like aluminum or something like that.
Right, but there's always
glass
over it.
On the back of a glass sheet. But yes, there's glass involved, which doesn't surprise me. I just wasn't sure how it was the reflective part, but the reflective part's not glass. Okay, not totally crazy. But when the glass is clean... I ran headfirst into myself multiple times trying to go around corners. Like, it really is disorienting to try and get through those mirror mazes.
What age are we talking?
It's 24, probably 25.
It is.
I was a full-grown adult.
Yeah. I could see that.
They're
fun. It can be a little bit confusing. You know what I miss doing is those, the fair fun houses with the big circle tube at the end. You know what I'm talking about?
Like Greece. Oh, yeah. I've never done one myself. I always wanted to.
Well, I can't do stuff like that anymore because it's weird now that I'm a grown-up trying to do that.
No, it definitely isn't. How old was John Travolta when they made Grease? He's an adult. He was up in there. He was jiggling and dancing.
Yeah, he was for sure.
Shaking those hips.
He was wearing adult pants, I would say.
Adult diapers, probably, at that age. Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's like probably 25, actually. Yeah, I want to do one of those. What's that type of art called? That like weird spray paint type of art that you see at like
graffiti?
Laser tag places. And it's kind of graffiti, but not. What's the type of art at the
like
county
airbrush
fair?
Stuff?
Yeah, it's like airbrush.
You're just talking about what they decorate art. Like the funhouse with?
Yeah, but it's a specific type of thing on these funhouse. I'm glad we do a lot of Googling on this podcast.
Because, well, listen, we're just all, we're exploring together. I do have some really exciting life updates, though.
That's good. All right, let's skip to that. I can't figure
this out.
Number
one.
Life updates.
I got my YouTube plaque. And
it already showed up?
Yeah, and I unboxed it on my stream. And I'm looking at it right now. And
they were on top of that
let
shit.
Let me tell you, it's not really as heavy as I thought it would be.
No, it's mostly made out of cardboard.
It's a little bit plastic feeling.
How many YouTube channels, like, because I'm sure the more...
There's like thousands. I looked this up.
Yeah.
With 100K.
Okay, so it's like, at some point they were like, this is costing us a lot of money.
Yes.
For a lot of channels that are like, not doing that.
Especially because
cool,
like, you can order more, which I think I said before, but like I can just order more whenever. So
they should
just
give
flood
you
the
option
market with
to like
YouTube plaques.
Pay $50 for like a good one. You know what I mean? Not that it's not
for
good,
a better
like,
quality.
I love my YouTube plaque.
They're like, we'll give you the shitty one for free, and if you pay a little extra, you can get a better one.
Yeah, because wasn't the original one was like actually metal, wasn't it?
I think so.
So I think they should give you the option of paying money, which is funny, I guess, because if you've gotten 100K subscribers, if you're getting any reasonable amount of views, you are making YouTube a lot of money. So I feel like, if anything, you kind of already have paid for it.
They can afford to give you a plaque. And again, I think I've said this before, but this is like my Mandela effect that I swear to God, I thought there was a bronze creator award. Like I thought there was bronze, silver, and gold.
For like 10K.
And I thought there was a bronze one for like 50K maybe. And I swear I can like go back in time in my mind and I'm remembering like YouTubers that I watched getting their bronze plaque. And it apparently never existed. I've looked it up many times because I was like so sure this happened and it's never happened. And the closest thing I can find is that like back in the day they gave some YouTubers with like 50K like a backpack or something, but it was not a plaque.
That's cute. Do you think it like some YouTuber you watched like custom made one and said that
they just
they
made
got one
up? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just filled in the blanks because I knew there was silver and gold and I was like, well, of course there's a bronze one. But
it would make sense.
I think I entirely made that up.
I think it is good that it starts at 100K because 100K is like not super easy to do. Like,
yeah,
you,
now
you have
it
to
is.
Be,
but I think back in the day of like YouTube's beginnings, an award for 50K would have made sense because that was a lot before.
Yes.
But now it's nothing. Now everybody's got 100K. There's also, I notice all the time.
It does take work, okay? Don't downplay your achievements.
Oh, absolutely. But there's a lot of people that have 100K that like don't even post consistently or only actually have one video that got a bunch of views. And I guess they just got a bunch of followers for that and then and nothing else. So it's
I
just
feel like that
wouldn't
feel as cool. Like you want to have to work for it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, no shade to those people. I'm just saying that like 100K is just much more common these days for various reasons. But I'm very proud. It is crazy to think that I had less than 10K when we first moved. I remember like posting a little TikTok about getting 10K like right after we had moved last summer.
That is pretty wild.
So,
I mean, if you
like
think
less than 1 year,
exponential,
I went from
10
to 100. That's really crazy. And I am having a little existential crisis about it, but I'll get over it. Maybe
do you want to talk? We can talk about it on the pod. People love the backyard baseball, inside baseball. People love backyard baseball.
Yeah, we can. I like that this crazy alarm is going off every once in a while. I wonder what that means.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about it because we're safe in here.
Yeah, the number of times we've played a game for this podcast, but like not played the game at all, you know, like no idea what the gameplay is. No idea what
the
purpose of
maybe
it is.
Someday we're just building a library of things to play in the future, maybe.
Yeah, maybe eventually we just become like a Funhouse pod, like a not Funhouse like we were talking, but Funhouse like, you know, like that channel. It was in their channel.
No, yes,
with
Funhouse like we were talking. We're gonna go into a funhouse with crazy mirrors and stuff.
That's a great idea.
Vlog it.
How much do you think it costs to build one?
And
of
I'm gonna
those?
spin you around in that tube until you puke.
I don't puke.
Me neither, actually. when was the last time you puked?
To be clear, I like a year and a half ago, I got violently ill and puked like 50 times in one night. So aside from that, though.
But before that, what was the time before that?
I would have been a kid.
Yes.
It just doesn't really happen.
I have not puked since eighth grade.
Yeah,
and I remember
that sounds about right.
The last time I puked was in eighth grade, and I had eaten a burrito for lunch from this burrito place that I still do go to this day. Because I don't even know if I can blame the burrito. I don't know what happened. All I did was, like, I got home and I puked at, like, 5 p.m. or something, and then I felt better, and that was it. So I don't know if it was food poisoning, because I've heard that food poisoning doesn't actually kick in until, like, a whole day later. So I don't know if it could have been food poisoning from that same day. But
it would have been from something else, probably. Maybe not, though.
Whatever it was.
Has anyone ever died?
It did not turn me
puking?
Off of those burritos. Has anybody died from puking? I mean, you can die
from,
like... It feels
like it's killing you every time you're doing it. Like, it feels like I should be worried.
I definitely have a little bit of emetophobia. Is that what it's called? Like...
Emetophobia?
Emetophobia, I think, is fear of puking. Like, E-M-E-T...
Oh, gotcha.
I think something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, fear of vomiting. Okay, yeah. I mean, it's really uncomfortable. It's probably the most uncomfortable, safe thing you can do. I mean, ostensibly. Again, I don't know. Maybe somebody has died.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you can die from, like, getting viruses that make you very sick and then, like, extremely dehydrated.
No, but I'm talking about just, like, puking so hard that your heart explodes. Because that's what it feels like is going to happen when you're puking.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay.
It is a really bizarre, and like if anybody in the audience has emetophobia, maybe I'll add a timestamp when we stop talking about puking. But it is
but
like a bizarre thing that your body does.
No, it's incredible to be like, I'm getting this thing out of my stomach going the opposite direction that all of the muscles were built to go in.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. I think what it should do instead, though, is just like expedite the exit, you know? I think your body should have a
thing.
Well,
that happens
like
as well
puking.
When you're sick, I think.
No. But I'm saying, like, I eat a burger, it starts to poison me, and my body goes, we're getting this thing out without digesting it. We're just, the whole burger's coming out. It needs to be able to speed through that process. Because I don't like the puking.
In
it's
whole
not comfortable.
Pieces. Yeah.
Whereas a
it's
whole
not good.
Burger would feel, never mind. Yeah,
but I like
I
that
are
you
we
also
about that?
Went like many years without puking because I have not puked since I was in eighth grade. And I think it's kind of heightening my fear of it because now I've gone so long without doing it. I'm like, I barely even remember what that feels like. I don't want it to happen.
It ain't fun. But I did just look it up. And at least according to the Google AI summary, nobody has died from puking directly. You can die from like dehydration from puking.
Yeah,
but,
that's what I'm saying.
Nobody has ever puked so hard that they exploded or died or anything like that. So it's safe. It's a safe activity to partake in. It just really feels like, because I think that we don't have to keep talking about this. Like you said, people might not want to be hearing about this particular topic. What were you talking about before? You're going to spin me around. Oh, yeah. How much do you think it costs to build a fun house?
You're really stuck on fun houses today. Maybe, I don't know. Are you looking it up? Maybe like $100,000.
Because it's just a bunch of wood, right?
It is. It's
like
a bunch of wood
through.
And...
wobbly floors
and it
and
like folds
lighting.
Up right doesn't that stuff like fold up to put it on a truck
I guess. Jesus Christ, $500,000? No shot.
Jesus.
It probably depends on how many like spinning tunnels you have and like how much mechanical stuff.
Exactly.
All right.
Sorry,
well,
did that
case,
just crush some dreams of yours?
Just a couple of video ideas aren't going to happen anymore. do you... Yeah, so why are you having an existential crisis about your YouTube channel? Just because you're like, uh-oh.
I'm...
How am I going to top this?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think I feel pressure about my content because I'm going to make what I want to make regardless. I think it's the thousands of people forming opinions about me based on limited information and occasionally telling me about it.
Yeah, but they're no, none of those people are real. I know you know that, but it's important to remember. These people aren't, they're
yeah,
not real
I don't
people.
Know. And it's,
they're not actually, what it is they're not real opinions of you. It's an opinion of like an idea that they
right,
have, not
it's
an opinion
based
of you,
on,
right?
It's based on very little is what I'm saying. But it's just
yes,
a weird position to be in because, of course, the answer that everybody says is just don't read comments as much, which I've tried to cut back on anyway. But then I don't want to feel like totally disconnected from everybody or like I'm untouchable and I don't want to talk to the people. So
it is super. Yeah, the balance is tricky.
And I don't know what it is because when I was a smaller channel, I handled it really well and I actually like was not fazed by certain comments and I just have been more recently. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm regressing a little bit, but I think maybe it's just the magnitude of the number and that naturally increases the number of comments and the number of different opinions. And it's just weird. And I also know it's like, who even cares like about me talking about it because everybody says the same exact thing. But it is just the kind of weird thing where you don't know what it feels like until you know what it feels like. And then you want to talk about it because it's crazy. It's like such
yes,
a bizarre, like specific experience. And then every person that gets big on the internet says the same things, but it's because it's like really strange.
It is an interesting, like it's fun to know. Well, not, it depends on who you are. I think it's fun to know that there's a bunch of people who think a bunch of, not a bunch, well, actually probably a bunch at this point, who think a bunch of bad things about me that are just not based in on reality. Like who just think I'm a, or that are based on reality. I think it's funny that there's a lot of people out there who like just think I'm really annoying or that my videos suck or that I should shut up or that, you know, like that's a, I find that an amusing experience. But what I always tell people is, you either should read all the comments or none of the comments, but regardless, you shouldn't take any of them seriously. And the trick that we probably have talked about this before, but I think the trick is learning how to not take the positive ones seriously or the negative ones, because people try to draw that line where they are emotionally invested in the positive ones, but not in the negative ones. And you can't do that. It's you either are or you aren't for all of them. And so I always encourage people like, don't take any of them seriously, positive or negative. Don't feel better if you get positive or worse if you get negative. Read them as information or for entertainment or for, I guess information is the way to put it. But I personally think it's really important not to take any of it seriously, positive or negative. You don't want to be at the whim of that kind of the weather, you know, so to speak.
For sure. And like I said, I think I used to be better at doing that and I'm not sure what's going on right now, but
do you want to put some people on blast?
No, not really.
Okay.
I do think there's a phenomenon where obviously people feel much more comfortable kind of being aggressive on the internet than they would in real life. And
yes,
then if you just act normal like you would in real life, a lot of times they'll take it back or like start acting more normal in response
all the time. Dude, yeah,
so I try to remind myself of that too, because now I'm at a point where I can't like respond and try to understand and have a conversation with every single person, obviously. So I have to just kind of assume that maybe they are more reasonable than they seem in real life, because people don't act like this in real life.
I think it's a great thing to keep in mind is like, if you talk to them, like these people are probably normal people who who are just acting like lunatics because it's the internet, mm-hmm. which probably helps you take it less seriously, but it's definitely pretty strange.
Yeah. Just a weird experience, but I think I'll figure it out eventually. It's yeah. just strange.
I don't know how those people, you know how there's like bullying community, what do they call it? Snark communities and stuff on Reddit.
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. Who just like all they do is bully.
It's really
people.
Crazy.
I cannot.
I've got
I don't
stuck.
Know. I don't know if I could even handle that.
Oh my God. If one was like made about you.
Yeah.
I would jump off
a cliff.
Because
at some point it'll inevitably happen unless you're like really diligent about.
Because it's so. Not, oh my gosh. I don't even want to think yeah. about the moment if that ever happened.
It'd be crazy.
I would not be able to handle that. Because it's the kind of thing where, like, it's like no matter how hard you try, you're gonna look at it at least once, right? Like, you can't not look at it.
Yes. And it would have to get to you to, like, see so many people all hyping each other up over
it's
it being
like
mean to you.
It's nauseating. Because I've got stuck reading some of those before about other people.
Yeah.
And obviously, I would never talk about anybody on the internet like that. But it's like, if you really look into it and you read a lot of the posts, it's like these people are clearly miserable and have nothing to do with their lives. Like
100%.
I mean, they're obsessed to such an unhealthy level. I mean, the whole concept is like you're posting daily about how much you hate some specific person on the internet. Like,
yeah. I think what's scary about it to me, though, is I feel like this is just like a hunch, and I don't know if this is real, but I feel like a lot of our opinions of people are kind of being seeded by these communities and then trickling out. And so it's like we probably have a lot of opinions about people that are secretly, like without our knowledge, actually kind of formed in these snarker, like bully, paparazzi type
this
TMZ
something...
communities. And like, we don't even realize it because it like it does trickle out far enough that like it feels kind of normalized. Mm-hmm. And that's like really scary. That's not a good thing at all, you know?
This is something I was thinking about earlier. And again, I don't want to like sound like I'm just complaining because most of everything about my life involving YouTube is incredible. And I'm very lucky and I'm very happy for the most part to make content and stuff. But like I said, it's just like something I end up thinking about because I have to read my own comments and stuff. But yeah, I think part of the struggle now might be that there's enough people once the number gets big enough that, you know, before if I had, say, like 1,000 subs, maybe there's like one person that is misinterpreting something I'm saying and like developing a negative opinion of me. And maybe they comment about it, but I can just hide it and nobody else sees it or nobody sees it in general because it's just one person. But naturally, as the number goes up, even if it's only like 0.1% of people, then suddenly that's multiple people. And they can kind of talk to each other about it. And this hasn't even happened with me. Let me be clear. I don't think I have a bullying community.
It's a real thing.
But I'm just saying as a phenomenon, when people can then band together over like, you know, they probably heard like one thing you said and took it out of context and decided to hate you for it. And then they're banding together and they're like bolstering each other. And then other people that maybe aren't sure what they think of you yet see that there's a whole community of people that hate you. And they're like, oh, maybe that's a valid opinion to have because we have this natural instinct as people to say, oh, if multiple other people think this thing, then that's a valid thing to think. So then there's just more possibility of it actually snowballing into like...
Well, and then they have a conversation with someone in real life who goes, oh, have you heard of this YouTuber? And they go, oh, yeah, I heard that they were kind of bad.
Yeah.
But they don't even know where that opinion came from because by that point, they forgot exactly where they read it. And they go, oh, yeah, I'm not sure. I just heard that they did something bad that, you know, they whatever. And then like suddenly it just kind of permeates in a way that you don't even expect.
And stuff
really,
just
really,
really
interesting.
Blows up to a crazy proportion where... If you really like some of the stuff that people try to cancel people for.
Yes.
And this is a complicated conversation because in a lot of ways, I think it's like. I think canceling is kind of not really a real thing that exists. And also, it's totally valid to not like people for certain things, et cetera, disclaimers, whatever. But a lot of the things that there will be like entire Reddit threads about or like people are going crazy about on Twitter that somebody did or said if that was a person in real life that you were like acquaintances with, you would not take it to that extreme degree of like they should be deplatformed or they should lose their job or whatever the hell people are saying. Yeah. Because people make mistakes all the time. People do weird things all the time. In real life, if you say something kind of awkward or accidentally insulting or something, you can see people's reactions to it. Like if you're in a conversation and you can like realize that you made a mistake and say, oh, I actually meant this other thing or whatever. And on the internet, you don't have that ability because you just put content out and people consume it and it's a one-way street. And so there's no conversation being had. People will just interpret it exactly how they want to and then create this whole fantasy of who you are based on that one thing. So like I said, it's a complicated thing. And I also don't want to, I guess I'm kind of, I haven't decided what to do about it yet as far as me taking people's input, because I like to be the kind of person that is able to learn and grow and change. And I think that that's like an important part of being a human, is that you learn and change for your whole life. So I never want to stagnate and be like, I know exactly who I am, fuck everybody else. I think sometimes people do bring up good points about certain things, even if they're saying it a little more aggressively than they would in real life or than I would like. So I'm kind of trying to decide.
There's a lot of subtext there, I feel like.
What do you mean?
Just like you saying, even if they would, you know, saying it a little more aggressively than I would maybe like, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying like it hurts your feelings when people
totally
criticize
right.
you.
Yes, people do. Yes, they do go too far. I think you just got to have people that you know in real life that you can check in with. But like you said, this goes back to our Katy Perry conversation, is if the people around you just hype you up all the time, you will lose touch with your ability to grow, kind of, you know. There'll be no person you can check in with because you can't use the public because it's a disaster and it's impossible to tell what's going on. And if all your friends are just people who are hyping you up all the time, they're not going to give you good feedback. So you just have to have people that you trust. But it's an interesting thing. I always think when I'm deciding whether or not I personally am going to cancel someone in my heart, you know, which is just to say disengage with their content, I ask myself, if somebody did this to me when I was working in food service, like a coworker, how would I react? And if I would cut them out and talk to a manager and try and get them fired, then I would probably cancel that person. But if I would just go like, that was weird, dude, you shouldn't be doing that, then I'd probably have a little bit more nuance with that. Because if you ran like normal people who live normal lives and are just out in the world who aren't spending all their time on the internet, if you ran by the rules that, I mean, it's so complicated, right, as you've said, but like generally speaking, if you ran by sort of these like canceling rules, everyone would just be constantly, you wouldn't have any friends, especially in food service. So that's my metric. That's what I use. If someone did it in food service, would I report it to my manager or not? Would I write somebody up if one of my staff behaved this way or not? Would I have a conversation with them or not? Would I fire them or not?
Yes, because everybody...
And I think that keeps me grounded.
Everybody has friends and family members that occasionally say something they disagree with or don't like. Like, that's ridiculous to assume that, like, you can only surround yourself with people that you agree with everything 100% that they do.
And you are that family member for somebody, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, most likely, you're doing it and not hearing about it from people because you're just trying to not rock the boat, you know? I think canceling as a cultural thing has been probably a net positive, but it obviously goes a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah. And
that's just the way it goes.
You know, I want to move on eventually because I don't think I'm saying anything useful that anybody's not said a million times before. But all canceling is, at the end of the day, is people deciding not to watch someone anymore or support someone anymore, which is totally fine and valid. I don't think...
Exactly.
I just want to stress that I also don't believe in this idea of like cancel culture, like it's the internet's problem for doing this. Like there's bad things about internet culture, but nobody really gets canceled. Everybody always eventually comes back or maintains at least like some part of their audience that didn't care about the thing that they did. So
that's true. Actually, that's
I don't necessarily
people...
I don't really agree with people that are like complaining about like cancel culture in all shouldn't exist, because in many ways I don't think cancel culture does exist. Nobody actually like completely disappears from the face of the earth. unless they go to prison
except if they
or something.
Go to jail. Yeah, right. Like if you have a trial and
that's
you go to
jail.
That's
the ultimate cancellation is life in prison.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a couple examples, but yeah, in general, plenty of these people are doing just fine. What you two?
Anyway,
we love it.
I do.
What else?
For the most part,
other life updates?
I have
other life updates?
Yes.
Pilates?
No Pilates. Listen, guys, this is a secret between me and Austin and all 10,000 of you. I have stopped my Pilates for quite a while now.
Oh my God! Why?
It's been like
2 months.
People
need a recurring segment from you. What the heck?
And I just talked about this in my upcoming video I was recording yesterday. How you want to know the 100% legitimate reason I quit Pilates?
Because of that
instance? It was
because
I became so unhealthily obsessed making the Avatar Games video that I was like, I don't have time for this.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well,
I was like,
that,
twice a week for an hour, I got to drive all the way to the gym. I don't have time for this. I have to edit Avatar Games.
No, that is a serious struggle. The more videos you do that take more time, and not that you necessarily will or have to, but that is like something that almost every week, I like when I wake up, I'm like, I can't. I gotta work on.
Yes.
And you always get more done if you stick with your routines, in my opinion, than you do by like cramming. But
yeah, I don't know. I just like
sometimes
can't.
There's casualties.
You know, I don't have a diagnosis for it, but I get very, very hyper focused on one thing at a time. And so if I'm doing a project like that, it's all I can think about. And it's not necessarily even a negative thing. Like I had the time of my life doing that, but I just like can't stop. Everything else just seems like really annoying besides the one thing I want to do.
Agreed 100%. Yeah, it is tough.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll get back into it.
Are you doing gym anymore at all or no? Is it
barely,
because it ebbs and flows,
thing,
I feel like, most of the time.
Class was really kind of keeping me going to the gym, so I should really figure it out.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's not a requirement to be a human being. But anyway, what is your actual life update?
My actual life update is somebody commented the name of the magician. It's Ed Alonzo that I saw.
No
That
way.
I had the dollar store DVD of. I also was completely wrong about where I saw him. I did not see him at that resort. I saw him at, I believe, Six Flags in Indiana.
Oh, that's totally different. Isn't it funny how memory works?
I know, because it was
you crafted a really strong picture of you at this resort and walking around, wandering around.
Yes.
And
I mean, that did
no
also
good.
Happen, but it just, these two events were not at the same
you
place.
You mixed them together.
So I'm pretty sure, yes, it was at Six Flags. Because Noah found pictures on his phone, and I'm like, I didn't even know you were at this show, but I think we were all at Six Flags, and he took the pictures of me and Asia with this guy. Asia's my sister.
Oh my God, please. You don't have to post them, obviously, but
no, I got permission from her this morning to put them on the screen.
Incredible. I'm
so
excited.
I'm putting them on the screen, and again, we were just like dying because we just went into this random magician show at Six Flags and it happened to be this guy that we had a DVD of as kids. Like, it was so crazy.
I love that.
So we were just like dying laughing in the audience and we were so excited to go up to him at the end and tell him, and he seemed like totally disinterested in the fact that we had this DVD, but he smiled for the pictures. I'll show the pictures.
Nice.
It is also funny. I still have a bob in these pictures. I feel like few people know I am actually a lifelong fuck-ass bob wearer. Okay? It's not
so
recent.
So the time that it wasn't bob, was the exception.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure, again,
that's,
I could be making this up because apparently I make up a lot
of
things.
I met you bob time.
I know.
So now it's,
so
that's
you
just
fix,
unusual for
you
me.
You got to fix your image of me in your mind.
Right. I think of you as ponytail, kind of.
No. It's
always
been a bob. The only reason, honestly, that I ever don't have a bob is just out of laziness. Because I'm pretty sure, again, I could be making this up. I'm sure my mom will correct me. Sometimes my mom texts me after the podcast and is correcting me on my memories that I'm misremembering. But I think I had a bob at some point in elementary school. Because I think that was the era that I had my my first day of fifth grade outfit, which I've talked about on my stream, where I'm pretty sure I had a little bob and I put a red streak in it with this like wax hair dye toy that existed.
Fun.
It like coated your hair in wax. So I put like red streaks in my hair and I had an all denim outfit for my first day of fifth grade. I think that that was a Bob moment. And then I had a Bob again in high school. And then truly the only reason I let it grow so long in college is because I was too lazy to go get a haircut. So in college, my hair went from Bob to like at my butt, basically. And then
too
I just...
Too lazy or too scared?
Why would I be scared?
It's going to be nerve-wracking.
Are you afraid of haircuts?
You could be in a neighborhood that you don't want to go to, or...
Are you like those little kids that get their haircut and scream?
No, of course not. It doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt.
You must have to get your hair cut so much. This is something that I think is an actual hardship of people with really short hair. Like, how often do you get your hair cut? Fucking once a month at least, I bet.
Yeah, about.
That's so annoying.
My hair grows kind of fast, though. But yeah, like
once a month. What do you do, every 3 weeks?
No. It's like once a month. Sometimes a little bit less. It just depends. So like when, because of the clips, it kind of hides the growth a little bit.
Sure.
The only reason I get it cut is because it gets too long.
Do you ever think about figuring out how to cut it yourself?
I did for a short period of time. I did like the buzzer on the my like super shave the sides.
Learning to cut my own hair.
Fucking crazy hair.
Learning to cut my own hair has been life changing. I think personally, if you want to have short hair that is in like a very specific style, it's so worth it to learn to cut it yourself. It is like really annoying and frustrating for a long time. Like I'm just now, I've cut my own hair probably, gosh, I don't know, probably 10 times at this point. And the first nine times were extremely, extremely annoying. I get so frustrated having to hold my arms up for that long. It's exhausting. I'm like annoyed that I can't quite do it right because I can't see the back. But the more I do it, the more it's like, it's so convenient and it saves me so much money because I hate having to pay for a freaking haircut every few weeks for having short hair.
Yeah, I don't know. I like my barber well enough. He told me.
Well, also men's haircuts are so much cheaper.
Way cheap. Well, like 20% cheaper.
You know what I was paying to get my bob cut every 6 weeks in Indiana?
What? Let me guess. What? $50.
$80.
That's crazy. That's more than I pay now, and I go to like a nice barber.
It's just crazy. I mean, when you look at the price menus at salons, it's always like the women's cut is just twice as expensive for no reason.
Well, you got more hair usually.
Usually,
men
but...
Men just don't care about how their hair looks, I think. Yeah, I gotta figure that. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because, like, on average, it's more work, and so they just say, rather than do it by some other measure, they just go men and women,
too bad? I honestly don't know, because...
Could I get a women's cut? Surely. Like, what's the difference functionally is what I want to know. Like, if you went in and said, I want to get a men's cut, it's a bob. Like, what would they do?
I genuinely think a lot of it is just... like cultural reasons, like men aren't willing to pay that much for their appearance.
I could see that. Like if you raise the price for men's haircut, men would just stop getting cuts.
Or just like, it's just so normalized. And I guess, yeah, the idea is that longer hair equals more work, but I don't think that's always true. I think it totally depends on what kind of cut you're getting. And I think we have some hairdressers in the audience, so I'm sure that they'll weigh in on like the actual difficulty of men's versus women's cuts, but I think there's plenty of men's cuts that are very like meticulously detailed, like with the shaver and stuff. Like people are very specific about like what level of length they want on each part of their head, and I'm sure that takes time and effort and attention to detail. And a lot of women's
cuts, I think men have started to,
are just like trims
to do a lot,
so it's like really not a big deal. I think a lot of it is cultural, and I have seen a couple salons before where you go in and instead of saying men's versus women's, they'll say like long haircut or short haircut, which that should be the way it's going to be, if anything, because there's no reason that a woman getting a pixie cut should be more expensive than a regular men's haircut, because that's all that is.
Yeah, maybe they should just all be the same price.
Maybe.
Like an airplane seat.
Like I said, weigh in, guys. I genuinely don't know if it's considered more effort to cut long hair. I think it totally depends on the haircut, probably. Because the couple times that I got my long hair trimmed, it took like no time at all because I would just have the ends trimmed. I didn't get any layers or anything.
Yeah.
This alarm going off every once in a while is crazy. I wonder if that means the monster's loose. but he can't find
every us once
in
a while
elevator.
A monster shows up behind you. Yeah,
is it like the smiling guy
face? yeah
I think just I saw him once up. But he can't come in here. He's scared of elevators.
It doesn't seem like it. Yeah, it seems like we actually found the one safe place to do this pod. Have you ever seen the movie Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf?
No, what's that about?
I'm watching it right now. It's just
you're watching
funny.
A movie while we podcast.
It's only like 20 minutes. It's just that's a few out. Scenes of it.
That's how much you care about.
I'm not.
This
I'm
show.
Over it. I don't like it. your Ed Alonso doesn't do shows anymore, sadly. But you can buy a tiny Rubik's Cube that he solves with his mouth.
Whoa.
I know. Pretty incredible. He calls it an oral fixational.
Okay.
What is an oral fixation?
So
people
Ed's
are always
doing
saying
crazy
that.
Stuff with his mouth.
An oral fixation refers to a persistent focus on oral activities and stimulation.
That's like people that are obsessed with chewing on toothpicks all the time, right?
Yeah. Or like biting their nails, chewing gum. Okay.
Sucking a pacifier.
Putting on a diaper, like sleeping in a crib, stuff like that.
Did you have any topics of your own or?
Oh, what I wanted to know was, you know, the audio from last week's pod was like an hour and 20 minutes, but the pod was 53 minutes.
Oop.
What are you cutting out?
You calling me out?
I just want to know what's... Oh, you know what I really need to call you out for, actually? I watched that vlog you did, and you took footage of me playing the air traffic control in the car. You snuck it in there.
Oh, did you tell me not to do that?
No, I didn't tell you not to. I just was like, I can't believe you put me on blast like that.
I got scared thinking you told me not to do it, and I forgot.
No. If it was actually something I was upset about, I would not bring it up on the pod. That'd be super extremely mean.
Well, I asked you before the trip if you were okay with being in my vlog, and you consented. So that means everything you did was fair game.
Apparently. I didn't expect. That's the one thing I thought just an intimate moment between me,
revealed...
myself, and I. But...
I don't think that revealed anything about you that people wouldn't already assume or know.
Well, but I think people think that I'm like
that seems pretty on brand.
Not. Yeah, but the problem is my brand is they think I'm a weirdo, and I feel like I don't feel like I am a weirdo. So then when I do things that I actually do, that then people see that I'm actually doing them, that reinforce my brand, then I'm like, wait, don't look at that because that makes it seem like I'm a weirdo, you know? But I'm not.
Why don't you
want to
be
like
a weirdo?
It's not that I don't want to be a weirdo. It's just I don't think I am. I think I'm a normal guy.
Don't we all?
I do. I feel. Yeah, exactly. So then I'm just, that's all I'm saying.
I gave up on that a long time ago. I don't think I'm a normal guy.
So.
That's okay.
It was a nice vlog, though. I thought you did a great job, just so you know. I thought it was super cute. And I liked it because it helped me reminisce. And I liked getting to see some of the stuff you told us about doing. In bits and pieces.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
I'm sorry to talk about it on the podcast because you do have to pay to see it because it's for my members, but you can support the channel, give me $5, see the vlog.
Cinco
it's really,
dollars.
It's not that exciting, you know? I don't want to be like paywalling like my regular content. It's basically like I assume that the people that are willing to support me are a little more interested in like mundane content like that, so that's why I post it there, because it wouldn't make sense on my main channel. But don't worry that you're like missing out on a bunch of stuff. Sometimes people get mad when you post anything behind a paywall, and I'm like, I just want to reward people that are supporting me with something.
I think it's, I've thought about recently, like I always do this thing when I write scripts where I tend to include way more like random facts and anecdotes about the topics I'm talking about, like, because it's all educational, or a lot of it is. And then I typically end up cutting all of that out in the edit, usually like 5 minutes worth of just like, oh, by the way, the stop sign was invented in this year by this guy because this happened. And I'm almost thinking I should have an unedited version, not unedited, but like including all that
cut stuff
for like Patreon or something like that.
You could do that.
I feel like that just makes more sense. But then I was like, oh, are people going to get mad? Because they're like, we want to see it. But it's like, I'm allowed to have people pay for things.
No,
that's
I
like,
think that
we're
makes
allowed
sense.
To do that.
I think the point of, I think that's why people post kind of extra content or extended cuts on Patreon and stuff, is because you assume that if people already want to support you just to be nice, then they're going to be kind of your biggest fans or more interested in seeing more of that stuff than the rest of the public. So I think that's fine.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Because poor people can't be your biggest fans. That's what I've learned. No poor people
that's
allowed.
Not quite what I meant.
Did you grab any questions this week or comments that you wanted to point out?
You know, I didn't.
I did. I can do some if you want.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. I did want to really quickly address the hypnotism thing. I feel like a lot of people were like, actually, Austin, hypnotism's real. Just want to make it clear that I know that there is a version of hypnotism that's real. Like, there was this lady who got teeth surgery under hypnotism and they were fine. I'm talking about like mind control hypnotism where they make you bark like a dog and
right.
admit all of your deepest, darkest secrets. That's all I'm talking about. I understand there's real hypnotism. Somebody did ask, what's the YouTuber equivalent of finding your DVD at the Dollar Tree? Like if someone came up to you, this was from Captain Nermy. Like what would be the YouTuber equivalent? And so I just wanted to pose to you,
like
what's
something
the video
I'd be embarrassed.
That if someone came up and was like, I'm such a huge fan of this, you'd be like, whoa. Like if someone came up and had found us through GLHF, I would find that quite flattering. That'd be lovely.
No, that's
actually
good. I think it's
is
funny
there anyone
that
in the audience.
I think I have seen a couple people that said that this is like the main way they consume us. Like they don't watch our channels, which is so funny.
Listen, it's the greatest podcast on the platform. What do you want?
I love that.
Yeah, like what's the? Is there any piece of content that if someone was like, I know what it is actually.
You do know what it is.
If someone came up to you on the street and said, oh my God, you're the person who did that Elite Dangerous video. You'd be like, ugh. And you would still smile for the picture. Just like Mr. Alonzo.
Exactly.
But you'd be feeling some type of way for sure.
No, that's exactly what it is. Realistically, it's any of my old videos. Because people go back and watch all my stuff and I see... If I just look at my comment feed sorted by new, like people are commenting on the old stuff all the time. And every time I even see a thumbnail, I go, ah.
Yeah. Takes you back to a different time. I like when I get random comments on like, especially some people go back and watch all of my Radiation Island playthrough on Twitch that I did in the middle of the night when I was whatever. I like when people comment on the finale of that and go, this was incredible. Because then I know that they're like, these people are
oh, they went
in
back
deep.
And watched the whole thing. Did you like post the VODs or something? How are they watching
that?
Yeah,
the VODs are up on the channel. Okay, okay. Like the finale has like maybe 1,200 views at this point. But every once in a while, once every couple of months, somebody goes, I watched this and I adored it. I loved it. Or that, or when I did 100 Deaths or Less through The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
Sometimes people comment on the finale of that and they go, this was so much fun, such a journey. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Well... People love a full playthrough of a game.
Yes.
Which I
it's
do
not
too.
As wide reaching, but
that's
when,
why
the people who get
I
into
like
it,
really
that's
try
like deep.
To do that with my streams, even though just because I'm always working on a bunch of things at once, it takes me like 6 months to finish a game. But yeah. I like when I actually finish a game and then there's like a VOD that's 20 hours long that somebody can go back and watch because I know that's like such a nice thing to have as a viewer.
Yes.
I just thought of something else. What was I just going to say? Because I was talking about my old videos. I think another layer of my existential crisis is, every time I'm talking about negative comments, I'm talking about like three people or something. It's just, it sticks in your brain. But
I think we should do that segment on this show that they did in Succession where you read... It's two good tweets, one bad tweet. So we go through our comments and you read two good comments and one bad comment. And then when the bad comment comes, you go, boo, and just shut them down. That's how I think we should process
but
this.
I've got at least two, maybe three people. These ones like really hit me hard for some reason. It's mm-hmm. people that have been watching me a long time. And then they say that they
the
don't
worst.
Like me anymore because I've changed. Which I think... is extra weird for me in this moment of my life because current me is like the happiest I've ever been and the most myself I've ever been. And I'm like so much more comfortable in front of the camera and I'm so like proud of what I'm making. And so to get those kind of comments saying they liked me better before. And then I go look at my old videos and I'm much more like mousy and quiet. And I also, I don't know if I've said this before, but I recorded a lot of those older videos, like kind of almost on the verge of a panic attack. Like that was the level of anxiety that I was feeling every day, all day. Like I've said before, I would like wake up. I would like wake up panicking. Like if I could sleep, I would like wake up already in a panic.
That's incredible that you aren't that anymore, I assume. I assume you wouldn't be saying
that if you were
in the same vein.
And I'm very grateful.
That's
why I'm a little
incredible.
I'm a little bit scared of the crisis I'm having now because I don't want to slip back into that because that was really horrible. But
yes.
I still loved making videos. I loved like editing and posting them, especially because that's where I felt like the creativity really came in. And so I still wanted to record. But like a lot of those older videos, I'm literally like, if you like hooked up a heart monitor to me, I'm like cortisol is going through me. And I'm like
beep, 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 beep.
I'm in such a state of anxiety even recording those videos, even though I would still say it was fun. Like that was kind of my light in the darkness was making content because the rest of my life was so stressful. So it's weird to get those comments where you're saying you liked my old videos where I was like having the worst anxiety of my life. And if anything, my personality was like very suppressed by the amount of anxiety I was having. So now when you say you don't like me anymore, or like I'm more annoying now, like that's just saying you don't like my more genuine personality, which just is like, so ouch.
That can be the scary thing about making any kind of art, right? It's like if you're doing it authentically, it is a piece of you. And so if people go, I don't like this, and you were being earnest and authentic,
exactly, yeah,
then they don't like you. But also, there's 100,000 of those fuckers, okay? A couple of them aren't going to like you. Well, what
I
are
know,
you going to do?
I know. And that's why I need to shut myself the fuck up, because I'm actually talking about like a few people out of many other people that are awesome. But it's just like the doom of the pattern recognition capabilities of the human brain. You see a lot of positive comments and you start just kind of glazing over them and your eyes go straight to the bad ones.
Mm-hmm. That's why, but you just got to ban those people and just get on with it.
Yeah, I don't
just
know.
Get them
it's
out of
crazy.
Here.
I just, also you, I know it doesn't matter what I say because people are going to say what they want anyway, but you don't have to tell people when you don't like them. You just don't have to do that.
You can just not say it. There's this old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, shut your damn mouth, okay? Keep it shut. All right? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. That's what my old dishwasher used to say.
Right. Which is why I'm not going to say anything about the shape of your body in this game.
Jesus Christ. next comment.
I've just been looking at it, and it's something about...
Okay, you look the same as me. So everything you say is I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. All right?
I know. But just, I can't tell if it's just the shape of the outfit or if we actually tried to draw what our bodies look like inside of this, if it would look
normal or
not.
Your arms are coming out of the wrong hole.
Because the arms are a little bit too forward, like your shoulders are hunched forward. And then it makes it look like your torso is really long and your legs are really short. And also your legs are really like skinny.
Yeah. We're just we got a hunchback and.
But it is funny to me that
we skip leg day.
There's so many different backrooms games and they all, you look like this in all of them. Like it's the same style of hazmat suit with the same weird shape in all of them.
Yeah.
Also, you've got two extra holes. On your left, like two of your holes have tubes coming out of them. I don't know what that's for. Maybe pee and poo.
Yeah.
But then you have two more.
We could follow. All right. Turn
where
around.
Do they go?
I'm going to
yeah.
follow the tubes.
Yeah.
We're going to figure
where,
it out.
Yeah. Where do the tubes
see
go?
See what kind of tube is it? They go into your back. So your back, it's probably some kind of like, I guess because
let
we're in a hazmat suit, we assume oxygen, right?
Yeah,
because like you're closed
this?
Off, which means whatever they don't want. We don't want to be breathing.
That exists?
So it's probably like oxygen or nitrogen.
It's
got to
be oxygen, but
shit.
Then it's going into your kidneys.
It's just filling up the suit.
Yeah.
So we just have suit oxygen in the suit or whatever. Somebody did ask, do you have any thoughts on timeshares? This is you specifically. Because like you're going to you keep going to resorts and stuff, you know.
Should I? Yeah. Should I address the me being rich allegations?
You should just say I'm rich. Fuck you. There's no shame in it. You know what I bought this week? A Roomba. That's how rich I am now.
Anyway, that I've mentioned fucker? A couple times, like growing up, that I've been to resorts. It's always been like gifts. Like, I don't have that kind of money, and that was not my experience. And to be honest, I feel a little bit weird in those situations when I'm invited on those things. But I've been invited to like two resorts. So that's, I guess that's my confession.
I'm going to invite you to resorts just so we can keep making sure that there's a regular stream of photos of you at resorts,
right,
that percolate.
It's very
on the
nice
internet.
And I'm very grateful to have participated. It's not exactly the kind of vacation that I would probably choose to go on, just because I like to experience more of the country. And I know, like, when I went to that one in Mexico, I was like, I could have been in Florida. I could have been anywhere, because you just stay on the resort the whole time.
That's the trick with resorts, right? It's like, it's not, why are you going to another country, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there's an argument for it, but not that makes sense to me.
But if you want to invite me to a resort,
Can we go to the one that has the airport where the planes land, like right over everyone's heads on the beach and blows them into the water, please?
That's all you care about is the freaking airplanes.
So funny because, like I was telling you, I'm going to San Francisco next week and we were looking at hotels. There's a hotel. It's a 5-star hotel, but it is on the fucking ramp at the airport. Like you
so
look out
the window.
So
you're just all day long hearing...
I don't know. We didn't get it because it was like $400 a night, but... It was,
have you seen those hotels where people, the window of their hotel room is inside of a baseball stadium?
No, that sounds kind of neat, but also kind of boring.
So you can watch the baseball game out the window, and also a bunch of people can look into your room, probably.
True. You can well, never mind. yeah, it'd be good for like the playoffs, I guess.
I don't know.
What I learned actually? This is going to be the greatest thing in the world. Open Sauce, the place that I'm going next week. Guess what? So, you know, VidCons, we went and it's panels and stuff. Open Sauce has panels, but they also have exhibits by like all these science YouTubers and also just science people. Y'all know what one of the exhibits is? You're not going to believe this. It is a 737 simulator. It is a full cockpit 737 flight simulator. Holy shit.
Is it the one from the rehearsal?
It's probably one of them. Like, they just have them, a full motion thing. Yeah. It might be, like, maybe it's a fake one, but I'm hoping it's a full, like, regulation.
Are you
going
to get to do
flight
it?
Sim. Absolutely, I'm going to get to do it. I'll waste a whole day waiting in line for that.
Will you film it,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make a short out of it and just be like, watch me land this plane. It's going to happen right now. I'll do my best. We'll see what happens.
Oh my gosh, and come back and tell the podcast about how you felt.
I will. Speaking of which, we're skipping the podcast next week, everybody, just so you know, because I'm going to be this place.
Announcement. Sorry.
But dude, Open Sauce has like cool shit, like really, really cool exhibits.
I bet.
Like it's like a giant science fair. So I'm stoked. I think it's going to be really fun.
You're making me jealous.
It sure looks
pretty
cool.
How it is.
Bunch of nerds.
It's not like it's that relevant to me other than for fun because I don't do smart content. Are we done?
You
asked me a question and I never answered it. You said, what did I cut out of the last episode?
Oh, yeah, I do want to know. I'm curious. Like what, like just not specifically. I just want to know like what do you, because I thought you mostly cut like beginning and the end and then if there was awkward silences or whatever.
Honestly, sometimes I get tired of editing it and I just cut off the last 10 minutes.